Welcome to the Inspired Intentions Podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Chef Ford, and I'm joined once again with my signature co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hi, Jeff.
So happy you're here, Rachel.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, thanks for being in the booth today. And we have another surprise guest who somehow still made it on mic, even though our signature co-host is here. We have what do you call the third person? Co-host as well. Yeah, you're a co-host. We have our executive producer, Alan Broyhill.
Hey, run the computer, run the mic. I'm getting really good at this.
You are, man. Yeah, you got coffee in one hand, computer up. It's pretty impressive. So anyways, we're gathered here today for a pretty important topic. Rachel, you want to share the topic?
Yeah. So today's episode is how to recalibrate your life.
Recalibrate.
It's great a good word.
Yeah.
Great it's word. A good word. And so how we came up with this was Jeff and I were meeting last week or the week before, and this word kept coming up. He kept using it. He was saying he was using it a lot in his conversations with guests.
I was on a recalibration bender is what was happening.
Yeah. Yep.
And they relate. They relate to that word.
Totally. Who doesn't want to recalibrate?
I know.
Seriously.
Powerful.
Yeah.
No hyphens.
No.
One word.
One word.
No hyphen to slow us down.
That's crucial.
So that's how we came up with the show title, which is, it was something that Jeff and Alan are hearing a lot from guests. They're looking to do this kind of recalibration. And so we decided, let's do a show. It's going to be helpful for people.
Let's talk about it.
So Jeff, do you have any, I know you always have good stories of guests that you're working with, anyone in particular that would be good to?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many guests have been coming into Skyterra these days with similar feelings and emotions. And one guest last week, he came in and he's staying with us for a couple weeks now. He's a emergency room doctor. And so he's been in the middle of COVID, the pandemic, for two straight years. And it was kind of really sad when I first started dialoguing with him during his planning session, because this is the first 2 weeks he's taken off in a very long time. And he almost didn't come because he was worried about his team, worried about his staff. And obviously everyone in the country right now, short staff, especially nurses, doctors, we're seeing it, you know, no matter the industry you're in. But the horrifying things he sees every single day, like even younger people coming in who are going to need a lung transplant, or 50-year-olds who, you know, aren't going to make it. And I think we kind of forget that this is going on. And it made it really real when I was working directly with this, you know, incredible person who, you know, finally took the step to be like, man, I need to recalibrate my life. Yes, this is awful. Yes, this is not a situation that's fun to be a part of, but clearly he's making a difference in people's lives. And at the same time, it was time for him to take a step back and, you know, figure out, you know, how could he handle this huge environmental stressor in a better way?
Yeah.
So
number one, thank you to the healthcare workers.
Let's pause there for a moment. I mean, we have so many healthcare workers. So thank you for what you're doing. And it is real. And it does not go unacknowledged on the Inspired Intentions podcast.
Yeah.
Anyways, his response to stress, he put on 30 pounds in the last couple years and used to be regularly working out. And he said this to me, which I think will hopefully connect with many of our listeners out there, from the standpoint of he just wasn't able to keep up with the routines that he used to do.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know how to handle this.
Yeah.
And so I think, at regardless, pandemics aside, there's times in our life when we don't know how to handle stress. We don't react to it in ways that we truly want to.
Yeah.
And I think this is just one prime example. So if you're someone out there who hasn't been reacting to stress in the right way, we're here to help you recalibrate your life.
Is his response and what he's dealing with pretty typical for the guests who come on campus?
What do you think, Alan?
I'd say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's even shame around it. And it's just not warranted, because we're all dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think struggles of guests are totally similar, where emotionally, physically, I mean, there's so many common things that people do. And so I think the struggle of not knowing how to handle something, it completely, you know, speaking individually, it's sometimes we just don't know what to do.
Yeah. So I'm curious, speaking individually, how do you guys define stress? I mean, for me, I tend to be super task focused and I have very specific things that I want to get done every day.
No, you don't act like that.
Right.
And so for me, stressful is I have too many things to get done and not enough time to do it. Alan, what's stress like for you?
It's a feeling, definitely. It's kind of how my body and mind respond to just random environmental changes. You know, when I have one of those small things hit me that builds, it's either like an emotional reaction, a internalizing reaction. Yeah.
So a feeling.
Yeah. Feeling. Stress is definitely a feeling. I agree with that.
That's how you define it too?
Well, no, I mean, I think that's one part of stress. Stress, of course, is a feeling, and that's important to keep in mind. It's a feeling. And there's ways of defining stress that we can look at even slightly differently than that. I think stress causes an impact. And so that's how else I would define it, is it's not actually stress until it impacts you. It almost does have a negative connotation. So, you know, maybe using Alan's word feeling, it's not a feeling unless that feeling impacts you in a way that you change some sort of aspect of your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
How about for you, Rachel? How would you define stress differently?
No, yeah. Like I said, you know, I think for me, it's trying to make sure that I get everything done. And I have, my response to it is it feels almost like this internal negotiation that I'm doing all day long where, you know, I know there are things I need to get done, there are priorities, and then I start to just pull things off the list. And often the things that I pull off the list are exercise or making myself a good meal or stopping to take a break and go for a walk, something like that. And so I, you know, and that stresses me out as well because those things were on my list and I'm not going to be able to get. So it feels like a loop.
And those sound like the important things to you, the self-care practices daily. It sounds like those are the first things that go.
Yep.
Yeah. Same
well,
here.
I don't think that's a uncommon reaction to it. And it's like, man, those are things you clearly want to do, but it's just too overwhelming at that point that you got to pull some stuff off the list so you can keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roger. How about you, Alan? Do you respond to stress differently?
Yeah, I kind of internalize a little bit. I tend to pull back from almost everything. I don't like check things off the list. It affects all realms when I'm stressed about even just one particular thing for sure.
So not just like your professional life, like relationships, other things outside of what that stress might be.
Oh yeah. If it's a personal thing, it definitely carries over into work. If it's a work thing, it carries it all crosses itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. Hey, you know what?
What?
I respond to stress perfectly.
Of course you
that?
Do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Absolutely perfectly. Every single time. Yeah. Yeah. So I think you guys have given some great examples there because it sounds like, you know, Rachel starts to kind of take off some of the things from her list. And then in Alan's case, it sounds like you just kind of slow down a little bit and stop maybe speeding up. So interesting reactions from your perspective. What I want to make clear to our listeners is just what stress in the terms that we define it on campus is here. First things first, anything that feels like stress, which stress is a feeling, so that's kind of counterintuitive. Anything that stresses you out, number one, you care about it.
Yeah. Mm.
You care about it.
Oh,
so it's
sure.
Like Rachel's to-do list, she cares about it because she knows as the marketing director, as she checks these things off her list, she's making a difference in more people's lives. Same thing with you, Alan. Every time you go out on a hike and you might have a van full of 15 people, that's stressful because that's every seat in the van. You do it because you care about it. And so that's one kind of aspect of a pure definition of stress. Also, it's universal, right?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Doesn't it make sense that we all have reactions to things in our life? That's what it means. So stress is totally universal. We're all dealing with it at any times. And a couple of things that we'll probably lead into more is stress. The biggest thing about it is your beliefs matter. So if you think something is stressful, it's stressful.
Yeah.
And that's where it goes right back to like that impact, that feeling as we, you know, kind of anecdotally described it ourselves.
Right.
Finally, before we get into the solutions of how to respond to some of the stuff that you listeners might be dealing with, I want everyone to know that stress isn't something you can control. The more you try to control it, the more you may not react in the way you want to. Stress is one of those things that you can be aware of your reaction to it and how you want to react, but you can't necessarily control it. I think that's important to make clear.
That's interesting, Jeff, because when you share that definition with people on campus, you're so perceptive. But when you say to people, for example, stress exists because you care about these things.
Yeah.
Can you see in the room, do people have any kind of reaction to that? Do they feel relief?
I think so.
Yeah, they've got to.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it depends on the talk. It's just one of those themes that may come up, even if, you know, Lindsay's presenting or other teachers on campus, where, yeah, I think it's a shift.
Mm.
Because if we use the story of the ER doctor, you know, the reasons he's stressed is because, you know, he is saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, literally bringing people back to their family. And I mean, even though that's at a very high level, we respond in the same way to the small things in life too. And so we just have to keep in mind, anything that stresses us out, we care about it. And yeah, I think that's relieving. I think guests do get that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the problem and we're going to talk about the solution, but what is the nugget of the problem, Jeff? What is, I mean, can't control stress. It's something that we care about.
Mm-hmm. It's always around.
Yeah, it's going to be there. No, almost like a lingering house guest.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think so that we can dive into some solutions here, let's break down the responses. So responding to stress happens in five ways. And one way is behavioral. The second is physical. The third is emotional. The fourth is cognitive. And the fifth is social/withdrawal.
Hmm.
That's me.
Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah. That was one, for sure. That's what I described.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. 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 That was that kind of slowing down, pulling away.
Yeah. Definitely.
How about for that one? What's been some of the ways guests have been describing that reaction on campus, or anything that you've seen upstairs?
The social withdrawal factor?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, definitely once they get here, it's almost like it's carried over into their interactions with other guests.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Like they come in stressed. We go through their planning sessions. And I see slowly as they kind of start to unwind through their week, they get more of that social interaction. And you start seeing those smiles on their face. And
almost
that,
some initial shyness and like, man, I haven't been around people in a long time kind
of
thing.
Exactly. 100%. And that's a common denominator from a lot of our guests right now.
Hmm. 100. The word isolation, you know, it's been between the teeth of just about 50% of our guests. Do we keep words between the teeth? Does that happen?
That's an interesting image.
Factual, right?
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
But yeah, that has been one of the most common ones given the pandemic, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, which of those five do you think relates most to your common response that you shared?
Probably behavioral, because my behavioral changes. And then with that change, probably some emotional, because I feel anxiety around the fact that I'm not going to get done the 1 million things that I wanted to get done for this day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. That makes sense. I think behavioral is probably one of the most common we see on campus. Do you think that's fair to say, Alan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially doing the planning sessions, our Monday personal planning sessions, it's like, well, I used to do this a lot, but over the, and that's how that conversation usually
over
goes.
Over the
dot, dot, dot.
You guys fill in the blank at home.
Amount of time that these stressors have happened and my lifestyle has changed, then that's how it goes.
Yeah. I think this is the biggest thing we've seen in the last 6 months is guests who have normally had really solid behavioral routines, physical activity, healthy eating, sleep. It's all been tripped up with the huge environmental stressor, and it's why they're, you know, seeking out Sky Terra Wellness.
Yeah. They're like, I want to get back to myself.
Yeah.
And it's like those pieces that they've lost, and that's behavioral, right?
Yep. Yeah, totally. And obviously that's where we are the guide most on kind of the surface level, but under the hood of the car of Sky Terra, I mean, we try to focus on all of these other four common reactions. Because if we don't understand the emotional reactions to stress, then it's hard to improve the physical.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff? I mean, obviously you don't ever get stressed.
Yeah, you heard that,
but
right?
If say, let's imagine that you did, which one of these do you think you would be?
Hypothetically, yeah. Yeah. No, I love hypotheticals. Crucial. I think, you know, behavioral is not a common response for me, meaning like I always uphold my behavioral routines. I think there's like this selfish nature to keeping those things within it. But I would tell you that I think some of the physical stuff happens on the smallest like moments in my day. So physical is one we haven't described a lot where, yeah, definitely my heart rate can go up. Mm-hmm. I can have just kind of this intensity about me. You guys have never seen this.
No idea what you're talking about.
Where it's just, I think there can be those immediate changes pretty quickly with me. But it's probably not the most common in my case. I would say that I'd fall mostly into the psychological or emotional, maybe dissimilar from Rachel, in the sense of, almost feeling lonely at times, not necessarily overwhelmed, but feeling lonely or misunderstood or underappreciated.
Yeah.
Those are some common emotional reactions that I think I have.
I've definitely could see the emotional on there with you, especially when certain stressors, at least from a work perspective here at SkyTerra, like it's because you care so much about those specific points.
Yeah.
And I can see how you withdraw emotionally.
Totally. I think it's because I'm so emotionally connected to things.
Exactly.
Like I put my heart into it.
If one
thing doesn't go right, it's like, man, we got to do this. I get very like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like this feeling of like, yeah, man, like, ugh, I just wish it went better.
Yeah, for sure.
How about cognitive? Rachel, the cognitive one we haven't really gone into, do you ever experience any cognitive reactions to stress?
I was just thinking about that. I have noticed when I am stressed and trying to jam a lot in that I find myself writing things down more because I can't keep as much in my brain.
Right.
So that definitely resonates with me. I see that just because we're trying to, you know, sometimes we're multitasking and on top of multitasking, just trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're multitasking.
Sometimes.
One or two days a week. Just like, yeah.
Yeah. Same thing for me though, for sure. Definitely. If I was, I will lose it in my head so quick if I don't write it down when I'm stressed. Like, I often see if I have something run back to back, for instance,
like classes or whatnot.
A class runs back to
back. This happened this past Friday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We got back from a kayaking trip late. As soon as we get back from that kayaking trip.
Dude, you were worried about lunch. You were worried.
I was.
Yeah,
I really
this guy takes his
eat.
Lunch serious. But what happened like in the cognitive sense for you?
Oh, it ran over lunch, hit 1 o'clock, had a class at 1 o'clock. I totally spaced on inputting stuff in the program service later.
Oh, man.
Happens all the time. Yeah, and if I would have wrote it down, I might have remembered it, but it just completely lost.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Almost difficulty remembering that was, on the list for the day.
For sure.
Man, cool. Well, I think we've described all five of the common reactions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think between the three of us, we probably have experienced all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was what I was going
to say. And it's important to just make sure listeners know in different situations, you respond differently. So none of us are immune to any of these sections of reactions. What we want to talk about now is like, okay, what do we do? We know stress is going to be there. We know it's universal. How do we combat this problem that's just part of life?
Yeah, like we like to give our listeners, we don't want to just tell you what the problem is. We're going to give you some solutions. We're going to make your life better.
Yeah.
So what are some solutions, Jeff? So what, how should people proceed now that we understand what stress looks like and maybe understand a little bit more about how we respond?
Well, I think first and foremost, take our, quick conversation here and start to identify how you classically respond to stress. So we have this triangle of change, and it's a model that helps people create change. And the first tip of that model is awareness. So number one thing you should do today is be aware of your common reactions to stress.
And that might just look like having a conversation like we just did.
Yeah.
With somebody else. just talking through it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. someone who knows you well.
Yeah, make sure you choose someone who doesn't perfectly respond to stress like I do, and then you'll be in good shape.
Someone you feel safe with.
Safe with, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can be vulnerable in the podcast room, for sure.
Very tiny room.
Yeah, it closes in on you, but not too tight. Yeah. You know?
So once you've identified it, then what?
Yeah, number one, identify it. Put the language to it. I think that's like, you know, we use the word relief in understanding that stress, anything that stresses you is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Putting words to how you react is super helpful, because when you feel it coming on, you can then next go through, here's how I want to respond. We said earlier, you can't control it. Like, Alan, could you give us an example of when you controlled the stress in your life?
Yeah, right.
Never. Yeah, could you help us out? Rachel, how about for you? Do you, you know, control the stress in your life?
Of course,
easily?
I control everything.
So yeah, number one, be aware of it, put language to it. And then the second step on top of that, which I think you were getting to, Alan,
mm-hmm.
is create a plan around how you want to respond.
How you want to respond to it. So you understand how you respond, and then you look at how you want to respond to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, and let's, Rachel, let's use your checklist as an example. So let's say the day's getting overwhelming. You've got this massive list, you know, and you're going through your list, and those moments are taking you over during your day, and you're about to just skip the 1 mile run. You're about to, like, you know, keep working through dinner. How do you want to respond when you feel like you're about to eliminate some of those behavioral things that you do for yourself?
I would like to go outside and get some fresh air.
Mm. And it sounds like maybe it's not a full mile. Maybe it's just 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, maybe just going outside. You know, I like to take a long walk at the end of the day. And so maybe, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do my hour-long walk. I'm going to walk outside for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even just 5 minutes will help clear.
I'm glad you corrected me, because you ran a mile in at least 10 minutes. So she would have got it in that case.
Yeah.
But I want to make clear, the plan is to still do it, but maybe you don't do it in the same exact way as you thought you had time for.
Yeah.
Do we think that the plan should be unique to the type of response that you have?
100%. So let's use maybe physical, like, and I'll, you guys know I love to use myself as an example, but like, if I feel an increased heart rate, for instance, and just, you know, maybe an intense conversation about something that's going on, that's an easy moment to maybe do some breath work and to maybe just take a step back. And I think, like, even sharing what we did with this podcast, like, we weren't loving how it was going in the beginning. And so, yeah, you know, one of us pulled off mic. We're not going to say who. And
listeners, this is some
behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
So this is the second round of this podcast. We started it.
We're about what? 9 minutes in?
We were about 9 minutes in.
9 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, it looks close. Yeah.
And one of us was, well, maybe
we all weren't feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a little stressful.
We were stressed. Yeah.
Yeah. But what did we do? How did we respond to it?
We pulled off the mic.
Yep. So we stopped what we were doing.
We talked about what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we laid out questions and a plan to make it right.
Yeah. We almost actually simplified too, I think.
Yeah.
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 For sure.
And we gathered clarity, which was cool.
Yes.
Because it's like, you know, having like the flow of a podcast isn't super easy, but we reset it, right?
No, especially when one of us is only in town once a quarter.
Exactly. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about coming up with the solution for this. So number one, be aware of how you respond. Number mm-hmm. two, have a plan for how you want to deal with it. Is there a third step? Because I know you love threes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's one thing to have a plan. It's another thing to, like, actually execute on the plan. Something I've always been kind of going into recently in the last couple months with guests is that we struggle with the execution, the actual doing of what we want to do. And so I think what I would encourage listeners to do once they've identified these common reactions is to make sure that they think through the steps of execution, to be super clear with, here's how I can respond in that way, versus just having, you know, like a plan, a few different ways of responding, but thinking through, here's the actual steps that'll allow me to take that 5 minutes outside. Yep. Allow me to kind of reset the podcast, you name it.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jeff or Alan, that you want our listeners to know?
Well, I think, Alan, like, could you paint a picture of, like, man, how life looks differently? Like, because I know you, and maybe this is some on-air admiration, I think you actually respond to stress really well. So when you respond really well to stress, could you share with listeners how your life looks different?
I have an example for you, Alan.
What's that?
So Alan helped us with a very big project 2 weeks ago, and it was a video that we created.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, in my mind, the most powerful video we've ever done.
Yeah.
It was, and you know, Alan is masterful at everything that he does, but the language, the answers that he was able to get into this video, and then the creation of the video, it was just above and beyond. But it was a ton of work in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And
in between kayaking, running 5Ks,
in between his his more than regular job. Mm-hmm. So when he finally sent me the video, he said, "I am going to bed."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stayed up super late on that one. That was definitely a lot of stress. That felt like pulling an all-nighter in college. Yeah. Studying
big
for
deadline around it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys had to get it out.
For sure. That was a big stressful event. And I definitely, R&R was, that was a big response.
Did you feel fully recovered when you woke up the next day?
You know, I didn't, but that's okay. It took a couple of days for sure to kind of unwind from that one. I would say that that's probably not dissimilar for a lot of people with large stress events in their life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because you care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Yes.
And I think there's obviously more to go into here. But what I'd encourage listeners to remember is that you can't control stress. Anything you're stressed about, you care about it. You can be more aware of how you respond and your common reactions, and you can set that plan to it in a really simplified way so that you can respond in most cases the way you want to.
Yes, and think through the steps.
Yeah, crucial.
Yeah. This has been great. Thank you, guys. Yeah,
totally.
The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer and our on-air co-host, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.